This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country, located just outside the nation's capital. Well, once again today, Grace Marie Turner has a very lengthy healthcare reform package to go over, as we've just now for the past few hours had it publicly released from the U.S. Senate. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, very happy on Wednesday that the official price tag from the Congressional Budget Office came in at $849 billion over 10 years. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Pleasure always, Greg.
Well, other than bleary eyes and a full pot of coffee, what do you see in this bill that's significantly different, if anything, from what passed the House a couple weeks ago?
Well, it's all cut from the same cloth. I mean, these are all big government bills. There are some sort of tweaking to this Senate bill in order basically to get the votes of key senators who've said that these are their pet projects. And it just drives me nuts that people are willing to say, I am willing to change the whole culture of this country and the relationship of individuals to their government and spend unknown trillions of dollars to create this experimental plan and to do it just because they want some part of this bill to satisfy some particular constituents' needs. I just beyond my comprehension.
Grace Marie, let's talk about the price tag a little bit. The number the president said that the final bill had to be below was $900 billion, and that's apparently the magical deficit neutral line. Is that accurate? Why is that the magic number?
Well, it's a magic number because it's under $1 trillion, but reading the Congressional Budget Office's analysis of this, they basically are saying there are so many uncertainties in this, and there are so many gimmicks, actually, that the leadership insisted on in order for them to get to that magic number of under $900 billion. But when you look at the full cost, when this bill is the first full 10 years of the cost after the bill is up and running, it's $2.5 trillion. Basically, what they're doing is saying we're going to start collecting the taxes and the fees right away in 2010, but none of the benefits go into effect until 2014, so they've got 6 years of spending and 10 years of revenue. That's the only way they've come in with this number. If you look at the 2014 to 2024 actual spending, the full cost of the bill is $2.5 trillion.
Grace Marie, in terms of the gimmicks you mentioned before, anything specific on that you can tell us?
Well, you know, for example, they are assuming that Congress is going to keep Medicare and Medicaid spending to levels way below historical levels in order to be able to show these fake savings from Medicare and Medicaid. And at the same time that the House is literally on the same day taking a vote to override the scheduled cuts to Medicare. So this is all just budget games. It's all trying to fit within the scoring boxes of the Congressional Budget Office. At the same time, any realistic person knows all of this is fake. The taxes that they're saying they're going to collect will not be nearly enough money, and they're saying they're going to cut programs that they have no historical record in being able to cut.
And so you're looking at really $2.5 trillion over 10 years once the program's actually up and running.
Right.
Unbelievable. Grace Marie, in terms of the politics of this, we know that there's a little bit of a scramble just to get the 60 votes to open debate on this. Do you expect that to happen? Do you expect it to actually get to a final vote? What are you hearing?
Well, I think that it's going to be very difficult for any of the Democratic senators to say they don't want debate to start on the bill, because all of them are saying that they believe that they can amend this bill in order to make it something that they could then vote for. So I think that they will start the process of debate and amendments, and that vote is likely to come on Saturday so that they'll begin the debate after they get back from their Thanksgiving Day recess. But I think they're going to hear from a lot of their constituents about many provisions of this bill that are very worrisome, including the bill only gets to 92% coverage, health insurance coverage. This is not universal coverage. And yet the bill will include cuts to hospitals for what they call uncompensated care for treating the uninsured. Well, they're still going to have a lot of uninsured people showing up. They're just going to have less money to take care of them. You're going to start to see people employers in particular, looking at the provisions that the responsibilities there they have. If any of their employees, for example, are eligible for all of these new subsidies in the bill, then the employer is penalized in saying that they're going to have to pay an extra tax of $750 for each employee, even if only one of them needs a subsidy. I mean, that's the kind of gimmick they're doing in order to raise this money to pay for this bill. It's none of it makes any sense.
And then in terms of bringing senators on board, we saw one report that tucked in this bill is a great deal more federal Medicaid spending, perhaps even double, for states who in the last several years have suffered a natural disaster. And of course, Mary Lander of Louisiana is one of those Democrats who's on the fence as possibly deciding to oppose this. So
Exactly, probably right.
Not a coincidence there, huh?
Well, and it gets to the point that they're buying votes, and it's just really awful. And the American people need to understand this. This 22,074-page bill is going to be out there. People can look at it. They can read the. It's very difficult to read legislation, of course, because it's always referring to other bills, and you've got to basically have a law library to read the bill. But there will be a section by section summary that will be available that will be much more digestible, that people can read and start to see some of these budget gimmicks, some of the false promises, and some of these incredible new programs that are being created. There are new entitlement programs in this for long-term care insurance that's gotten almost no attention, and yet huge potential long-term obligations of the federal government. This really needs to be scrutinized. People need to understand it. Members need to debate it thoroughly. I hope that this debate takes many, many weeks so people can understand this bill.
And Grace Marie, just to follow up on what we were talking about in the beginning about what kicks in and when, you mentioned that the taxing kicks in next year and the spending kicks in 2014 if this were to go through. So how would that look on our tax returns, to our decisions we have to make, and just really the upcoming next few weeks if this were to pass?
Well, what it will mean is that when this bill is up and running, is that every American is going to be required to have health insurance. And it will be the health insurance that the government tells you you must have, by the way. And if you don't, you're going to be subject to fines and penalties. They are relatively modest in the Senate bill because that was a big issue for Senator Olympia Snowe. They're heftier in the House bill, but not nearly enough to satisfy the insurance industry, which is very concerned about adverse selection. If people can just sign up for health insurance when they need major surgery and then drop it after they have had their surgery, then you don't have a real insurance pool. The whole system is not going to work. So people need to look at this from the perspective of taxes. Small business owners, you're going to have higher taxes. You're going to have to pay more taxes on payroll if you're higher income, your Medicare payroll taxes. If you're a higher income categories, everybody's going to have to pay more in taxes, hidden taxes, for medical devices. If you need any medical, if you have to have a cardiac stent put in, you need a joint replacement, a pacemaker, all of those are going to be subject to tax. There's even a Botox tax. There's a tax on cosmetic surgery. So basically, if anybody wants to get a facelift, you better do it before December 31st, because after that, you're going to have to pay new taxes for any spending on cosmetic surgery.
And Grace Marie, is there any specificity inside this bill or the House bill? You mentioned that not only do we have to have health insurance under the Democratic strategy, but that we have to have one that meets their standards. Is there any details in there whatsoever about what will be required to be in our health policies?
I haven't gotten to that section of the bill yet, but you know that the history of the states, and whenever the government gets involved, that it's going to be the most generous plan that anybody can imagine, because they can't politically tell any constituents, once they know your services aren't going to be covered, is vital to somebody. And so it's going to be the most generous Cadillac plan, much more generous and expensive than most people can afford right now. The estimates were that the plan in the House bill would have cost about $15,000 a year for a family. And you're going to be required to have this. And younger people are going to be required to pay higher premiums so that older, sicker people can pay lower premiums. There are many, many ways in which people could be directly impacted by this legislation.
Grace Marie, frightening on so many levels. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the most respected health policy organizations in the country. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.